The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
Hi, friends. Jim Hitler once again for PAL Stereo. Say you won't want to miss our big weekly sale at PAL Stereo. Take a look at this week's special at PAL Stereo. A Sashimi AM/FM stereo receiver with Dolby cassette and Bitsco turntable, two 15-inch Kamikaze three-way air suspension speakers and crass headphones. Delivered for only, get this, $99.99. That's $99.99 down and $9.99 a week for 99 weeks at all PAL Stereo stores. Northridge, Hollywood, Torrance, Lakewood, Downey, West Covina, Oxnard, La Puente, Westwood, Santa Monica, Long Beach, Escondido, Bakersfield, Garden Grove, Anaheim, Glendale, Pomona, Chatsworth, Pasadena, Reseda, Norwalk, Venice, Carson, Lawndale, Tarzana, Englewood, Sherman Oaks, Studio City, North Hollywood, PAL Stereo now!
For a Toya paper moon, sailing under a cardboard sky, but I wouldn't be made believe of you believe in me. Or the love, 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 or the honky tonk parade, or the love, 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 or the melody played at a penny arcade for the bomb and baby world, just as phony as it can be, but I wouldn't be made believe of you believe in me. Or put another nickel in the Nickelodeon. All I want is loving you and music, music, music. Closer, my dear, come closer. La, 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 la.
Okay, here we go.
Listening to Frank Capella.
No, it isn't.
Oh, I'm sorry. But don't hang up.
Why not?
I don't know. You sound very nice.
Thank you. You've got the wrong number. Why don't you try dialing again?
Well, what number is this?
This is not Rector 4445, whatever you said it was.
I don't understand, because I am dialing Rector 44445.
Why don't you call the operator? What a wonderful idea that might be.
Well, now, then, listen, don't get angry.
I'm not angry.
What number is this?
This is not Rector 44445.
Yeah, but I didn't say what it was, and I said, what is it?
Well, it isn't what you want.
Well, we don't know that.
Yes, we do. We know that very well. I know that. Now, I'd like you to know it, too, and then we can know it. It'll be a secret that we share.
What do you look like?
I'm very beautiful.
Well, you don't sound like you're very busy right now.
Yes, I'm not very busy. I have nothing at all to do.
Well, maybe you'd like to make a new friend.
No, I don't think so. I have enough friends as it is. Too many.
Are you sure?
Quite positive.
Well, aren't you even curious about me?
No, not at all.
But listen, this might be the big thing in your life.
Yes, it might. What a pity, because I'm going to have to miss it.
Won't you let me come up and you take a look at me? And if you don't like me, you can just slam the door in my face. Now, that's a deal.
It's not necessary. I don't like you from talking to you.
Then why haven't you hung up?
Oh, what a good idea.
Okay, here we go.
Listening to Frank Capella.
That's control over there, you know what I mean?
Once again, for philosophical entertainment relevant to reverence and a whole bunch of crap. Yeah, there's like so much crap, I can't do it myself. I got Jeremy Long and Joe, the guy here. Joe and Jeremy here. We'll be here with our guest, Barry Rothbart. That's one word, Rothbart. Here in Cthulhu Chronicles, my name is Frank Cthulhu. Man's name is going to the title of the show. Let's keep it up going in. Let's go. Don't go away. I am the Bard of Broadcasting, and I bring you the finest in English language talk radio. Ice cap to ice cap, from Hamlet to City, from Othello and to every bordello, the Bard Broadcasting here once again. On the Y2K plus 14, we're rapidly losing the year. The year is just whittling away right here. So much of joy just ran. I shouldn't be out of breath like that, but I shouldn't be, but I am out of breath. We're, that was just me once again being randomly put together here. I want to mention this. That's why I, last minute thing that I did when I put in the collage here. Collage was rather short, but I've been getting a lot of mail asking me to make it longer, so I shortened it. We did play a wonderful little bit from the 1950s, and I've talked about these people before, and I think Paula Prentice talked about it when she was on the show too. Crispy talked about her and her husband, but that has nothing to do with these two. That was Mike Nichols and Elaine May, who were really a great comedy team. I figured we'd start off with comedy, and then all of a sudden, what happened? Two things happened. Barry Rothbart, who's a comedian, is a comedian. I shouldn't make it past tense. That's not good luck. That's not luck at all. That's not even wishing him the best, and I do. He's going to be on the show, and then, of course, Jeremy Long is going to be here. And this guy named Joe just came. He just stopped in from nowhere. We'll talk to him later. And Mike Nichols, what happened? He died. He died today. Oh, yeah. 83 years old. He's not known for Nichols and May as much. In the industry he is, but not in public. He's 83, and he was known as a director mostly. And you probably know all the movies he directed, including The Graduate and The Birdcage, the Whispers, the Annoying Whispers, I think, was one of his favorite. That was one of my favorite things he directed, The Annoying Whispers. I shouldn't say that. 83 is pretty good. Mike Nichols gone, and so I thought we'd play that as homage to great comedy. Because what we're stuck with is what we have here today on this show, including myself. Do you guys know? Do you know? Jeremy's, of course, here with us. Jeremy, did you know Nichols and May? We've heard Nichols and May, right?
Of course, yeah.
And Joe, did you ever hear of Nichols and May before tonight?
I have not.
You're thin. You know that? Yeah, yeah. You're thin. That's good. Mm. You can try and stay that way.
Yeah.
Joe came in here with Jeremy. Jeremy's the co-host, so I guess you're the co-host. So you're the co-host of the co-host. He's your co-host.
Oh,
yeah, I got a co-host, and you have a co-host. Joe, you're the co-host's co-host.
You're the co-host. That works.
Here at
it kind of makes sense then, right?
Yeah. Cthulhu Chronicles Y2K, and we're going to get Barry Rothbart.
Oh, shit.
What? Are you doing your own show over here now? Are you? Okay, stay with me, okay? Stay with us here. I want to mention a couple of things. Oh, here's one of the things, aside from now that we've... Mike Nichols, of course, we'll be talking about him more, because he'll be in the roll call to the bone... at the roll call from the Bone Garden, our last show of each year, with the artist D and I. It sounds better to say the artist D and me, because it rhymes. But the artist D and I, of course, we do, and we'll be talking about all the celebrated people who left us They left us. We don't know where they went. Some people think they know where they went, but they didn't go anywhere. We'll be talking about them. And speaking of the Artist D, there's, if you got to see what's going on when you get the archives of this show, and you'll listen to the show, of course, on other stations when they broadcast it, because they do broadcast a lot on other internet alternate broadcasting stations, but all, and some actual stations I have that have, like, you know, you hear on radio. I don't even know we get radios anymore, but when you hear it on the radio, there is some. But if you go over to where we archive these shows, where you can listen to it and download it, so you can listen to it at your own convenience, put it on your iPhone, your e-phone, your ibuprofen, whatever you got, and you could hear the shows. You got to go, and we talk about Juice Talk Radio, because we mention it a lot, but you got to go see the new design of Juice Talk Radio. It's wonderful.
Oh, I saw it.
You saw it, huh?
Yeah, I went on earlier.
Yeah, wonderful. And it has pictures. And we know you like pictures. Our audience likes pictures. The books with pictures. Pictures are always good because they say 1,000 words, and you know it's like one page.
That's true.
It takes sometimes it takes a whole page to say 1,000 words.
Yeah.
So we got pictures, and then of course, fourculture.com for Four Culture Magazine now has features on it. You don't just go to the magazine itself. There's features on it, including me. Another, yes, one more piece of junk on the internet to clutter up cyberspace. I'm there for it. I am there to clutter it up. There's always room. And, right, Jeremy?
Right.
Right, Joe?
There's more than enough room.
Oh, well, he's just learning to be a co-host, so he's got there. We won't even, to protect your identity, we won't tell your last name. So that if anybody, if you don't feel good about it, you won't be known. No one know it's you. Anybody that you know, unless you want people to know it's you.
I'd rather be infamous.
Would you think you'll be infamous by being on this show?
Hopefully.
Okay. Well, what is your name?
My name.
Your whole name
is
Joseph.
It's not even actually.
Not even Joe.
It's not Joe. What happened?
Just like roll with that.
You just said Joe.
No, I never said Joe.
I thought you said, "Here's my friend Joe."
No, exactly what he said.
It's John.
It's John. Yes.
Some Johns are called Joe. No?
We can make it Joe.
Okay, forget it. Okay, so you're John.
Your name legally changed to Joe and then come back on the show.
What's your name? John?
Jonathan Minnick.
Oh, now it's Jonathan. First it's Joe, then it's John. Now it's Jonathan.
I thought we were doing, you know.
Okay,
like,
you're a Minnick?
Yes.
Holy Christmas. Do you know that's the random music generator guy?
Oh, okay.
Bill Minnick, the guy
I
who.
I told you I was famous.
Are you related to him?
No.
Do you know
yes.
William Minnick?
No.
You don't know.
I actually shouldn't even be a Minnick. That's a whole long story.
You shouldn't be a Minnick. There's yeah. It's the name of the, it's his new book. I Shouldn't Be a Minnick by Jonathan Minnick.
Yeah.
Well, that's too bad.
Yeah,
but, okay.
That's what it is.
Okay, so Jonathan Minnick is with us, and we're going to be talking from this particular station here. In the United States, which is also Canada. So we'll be connected to Canada because SRN Media Works. And then we'll be but go over to, what did I say? I said the fourculture.com and archived is juicedtalk.com.
Right.
Also, there's plenty of other things going on. Just Google me. Google Jonathan Minnick. Google Jeremy Long, MD. Who was you weren't up the other night with this Twitter thing that was going on the other night with
yeah.
Started with the, and then the other people. I didn't even know some of those people, but yeah. I wound up with some more followers, which is great.
That's
because
what always happens.
Twitter is trying to get people about to pay to promote and everything like that.
Yeah.
Well, I screwed them up, baby. I got followers for nothing.
Yeah.
And when you can get followers for nothing, you know, because nobody... Cause,
the world is great.
Yeah, because followers really don't do anything for you anyway. Jonathan Minnick, do I follow you? Or do you have a Twitter tweet account?
I do.
You do? How
I
come
do
you don't follow me?
I
Oh, you all? Oh, Joe, but you came over here during my broadcast and said...
I'm pretty sure he follows
you. Know, he does?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, well, we'll be following. Everybody follow one another into the pits of...
Despair?
Despair, right, exactly. So, anything else I have to say? Oh, we got one more show in November, and then we're going into December. And you would know that because you have a calendar too, and you should be keeping up with what's happening in the present time and the near future. There's really not a lot of other stuff to say here. Go buy books.
Go to Amazon, license the skill, go to Blurb. Oh, yes, and of course, coming up, it's not going to be ready for Christmas, my friends. Your post-Christmas, so save. You know what you do? Here's what you do. To some of the people you want to give more Molotov Memoirs, the sequel. I don't want to say sequel, because it's not. It's just another book. It's another volume of Molotov Memoirs from me and T. Stephen Gesick coming out. Won't be ready for Christmas. But it will be ready after Christmas. And what I want you to do is, if you were going to get to somebody, because I told you to be ready for Christmas, I was not going to be ready for Christmas, get a little card and write, coming to you after Christmas. Your final Christmas gift will be after Christmas, during New Year's sometime. And if it's not ready in New Year's, it'll be a spring gift. You'll give it to them in April. No, it'll be ready after the
spring.
At sometime in 2015, because it's going to be a really, really good year. I want to say this right now to everybody out there, especially you people who don't like me. Now, why you'd be listening, I don't know. Probably just to, like, spit at the at your little... But people listen to me and they spit at their iPhones or their thing, like, Tooey, I hate, I don't like you. Tooey! They, just to spit, you know.
I don't know.
It's going to be a very good...
It could damage the iPhone.
2015.
No,
well, what? Hear that? Well, what? Already, so already, people are bothering me on Skype. The minute I go Skype,
who was that?
I don't know. Maybe it's not a bother. Who is it? Hey, it's it is us. Connect. Oh,
well,
that's me.
You.
Oh, it's good old Skyler. Well, Skyler, you are not. You are not a pain. Skyler is, of course. Get me a promo from. We'll get you a promo from Molotov Memoirs. Of course, Hotspot Radio here on SRN Media Works, and
man.
You could take it and put it out. And you could take that show, and I guess, we'll get in touch with him. I'm not going to say that you, I'm not going to give away people's shows that don't want to give away. Skyler Hall, of course, every Wednesday night on Hotspot Radio. The problem I have with that is I'm never here on a Wednesday night, so I have a problem listening to it. But usually I get my TiVo out and I tape it on my, I record it on my TiVo. Can you do that? Nothing there. I keep setting it. Okay, but that's the case with that. So I'm here with Jeremy Long, MD, and Jonathan Minnick, DDS. Are you DDS? What?
Yes.
Let's, you know, I don't like to just have like nobody. I don't like to just have anybody on the show without me saying anything, especially if I don't know them. I mean, usually when you bring babes and stuff, I know them. Okay, so it's not like, you know. Besides, they're babes. You know, no offense, Bill. Not Bill. I'm calling you Bill now because I know a minute. How do you know Jeremy?
Jeff.
He doesn't remember, okay?
We met between my old roommates. Yes, friends of friends.
You had an old roommate? How old was this person?
39.
Oh, man.
Yeah. we met through some friends and then we kind of, you know.
I don't know. If I knew. I would know. I would say it myself.
Right. Well, no, I'm confused.
Okay, so you became friends with Jeremy for reasons you have no idea.
And
why,
as
most
I
of his
could
friends.
Go back. Yeah,
really?
Yeah,
you want to go home now?
Yeah.
But you don't have a car. You drove here yourself?
Yeah. He
and
made me.
You don't have a car.
Car.
You don't have your car?
I have my car.
He wouldn't let me in his
car. Two cars in the carport? There's three cars,
yeah.
Including mine?
Yes.
Well, why did you? Why? How did you do that? How did you come here?
I just live right down the road.
He does?
Yeah.
Where? Where?
Do you know where the post office is?
Sure, I know where
the post office.
On Crawford?
Firehouse.
That's not where the post office. Oh, the post office,
yeah.
Not the other place. Yeah, he's right.
Yeah. Our audience is not enjoying this segment of the show.
You live down the Firehouse Road, huh?
Yeah.
So you, oh, wow, okay,
yeah,
fine. Well, you could have walked here. What'd
yeah,
you waste that gas for? You should have picked him up. He lives right here. Okay, my name is Frank Catello. Man, his name is Don Gentile. Show you all know me. What do you do? Are you going to school?
No, I'm a bum.
I like a man who admits.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm big on admitting.
That's
you
why
know,
I'm
you know that.
That's why I'm friends with him. His honesty.
Oh, because he's honest?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And I like
bums. Yeah. We really get to Hollywood. have all those honest friends.
Yeah.
You know? Honest friends.
Hollywood's full of honest.
You just
people.
Don't know where they hide their knives, the ones they're going to put in your back. Then you'll find those. Well, so you just bum around this Grantville?
Yes. I used to have a job, and then I got fired.
Well, it's okay. That's
job,
not the point.
Know.
The point is you bum around Grantville.
Yeah.
I thought I was the only one bumming around Grantville.
It's a great town to bum around.
Isn't it? Really,
yeah.
Really great. Well, you know, maybe when he leaves, you could be the co-host. Oh boy, look at the face that I wish they were on television.
Oh,
to see Jeremy Long's face.
He's
wow.
Right now.
Yeah, get my knife ready.
Get his knife ready. Okay. So anyway, we're going to talk to Barry Rothbart, and I'm not going to tell you a lot about Barry Rothbart. You might have seen him on the Dinah Shore show, or I saw him a couple. Yeah, and he's on YouTube. You might have gotten him on Jay Leno.
There's no more Jay Leno.
Oh, okay, he's been doing this stuff for a while, and we're going to talk to him. What happened? This doesn't work.
Clicking.
Oh, I got to go to where? Oh, okay, go there. Well, gonna, hey, hello. Now here's Jeremy Long and his show. click him, do that. Hit him.
You seem confused.
I'm telling you. No, I'm not. I'm always confused, but I'm always in control. Okay. I mean, you see, that's the deal. But you should know that by now. Well, I have nothing else really to talk about because there's really nothing else going on. Is there anything else going on? Do you have anything else going on right now? Later on, we're going to talk about a whole bunch of new comedy clubs where Jeremy will be.
That's really the only thing going on, but we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, and I'll bet you that if Barry wants to hear about them, maybe
Barry said he can only be on until about 10:15.
Oh, was he got
so
a gig?
We'll have the last
Does he have a gig?
Yeah.
Really? Well, maybe he could. Okay, that's fine. Well, then we'll get him now because he's not going to be on for. It's only about 10:15. This is my name is Frank Cotolo. My name is the title of the show. This is Cotolo Chronicles Y2K Plus 14. Here, November 20th, the penultimate program. It's not a program; it's a show. The penultimate show of this show in November.
It's my favorite part. Of
you like that sound?
Yeah, it's a good one. Skype chose.
But when it doesn't connect, it does connect.
Well, in a second.
Yeah.
You're calling
it. Yeah,
it says
calling.
It's calling.
Yeah, but it's not going doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo anymore.
Doesn't it only do that once?
We're calling Barry Rothbart in California, the Golden State. It's probably, I think it's the largest state in mass. Texas is pretty big. According to Joe. I'm going to call you Joe. I don't care. I like Joe.
Like it.
And we'll be interviewing you shortly because Barry, are you there? Can you hear?
It says it's still calling.
It's still calling Barry. It's Skype taking a long time to get across the country today. It must be all that snow and all that the torrid winter weather that's been hitting the mid-coast, west coast, east coast. Oh, well, that call failed. We got a failed call from Barry Rothbart. And now we're going to call Barry Rothbart again here on Cotolo Chronicles. We'll get him. This happens a lot. Not a lot, but it does happen.
Skype is...
Well, I know. Some people have a lot of trouble with Skype. See, it should be going do-do-do-do-do-do constantly.
Should
maybe
be doing the... Doesn't it do that noise?
Yeah, it was supposed to do that, too. We do have really no problem here because we are connected.
It's supposed to make it loud.
And make it what is that, Joe?
All kinds of noises.
Joe
should be making all kinds. Yeah,
it should be. Joe noise. Knows because he bums around all day. He plays on Skype.
Yeah, that's
probably
all
make
I
you make. You can't
did
make crank calls.
Did it work?
Here's Barry. I think it's Barry.
Hello.
Barry.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Mr. Rothbart.
My
name is Frank Cotolo.
This is
Frank Cotolo, the man whose name is the title of the show.
Hey, Barry. It's Jeremy
Frank,
here.
How are you?
I'm the chronicler.
You're the what?
I am the chronicler. This is Cotolo Chronicles.
I don't know that word.
Well, you know, it's about time we picked up a dictionary.
You're the one who chronics. That's what you mean.
Yes, it's a chronic thing that goes on. And Mr. Jeremy Long is here with us. You know him.
Hey, Barry.
Yeah. Hey, Jeremy. How's it going, man?
Good, bud.
And Joe. Say hello to Joe in the back there.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, Joe. What you doing with that gun in your hand?
Like an intervention, yeah.
Yeah, right. Hey, you want to do one? No. Barry, I'm trying to constantly keep up with... I go way back in the world of comedy, and Jeremy...
So do I.
Do you? You're, what, 63 now, 64?
No, 31.
You're 31, which is, of course, old. when you're getting on there, but you've already accumulated a wonderful resume from what I hear. Not that we wouldn't have you on if you didn't. There's no prerequisite.
Yeah, no, but you know, it does help for me to book radio shows like this.
Well,
since I've been on TV and stuff.
But unlike some of those places we would have you on before they would turn you away.
I appreciate that. You know, sometimes people get intimidated by the amount of credits I have, you know, and me being like such a big name. So I appreciate you guys, you know, treating me like just one of those.
Well, you know, you're also, you know, you're on the, this is, if you don't know it, and I don't know why you would know it, this is the original internet radio talk show. This show has been on, you know, going on 16, 17, 18 years, maybe us, going on 20 years.
For real?
Absolutely. I'm the original.
Wow. Okay?
So you've really...
That's great. Where does it air?
It airs in the entire globe on Earth. there's tons of stations that are alternative stations that play the rebroadcast.
Oh, wait, hold on a second. Saying that it doesn't come out of a radio tower?
Yes, on some places it comes out. We're the first internet talk radio.
Wow.
Yeah, show.
So you mean anyone?
Of anyone, yes.
Anyone could get this.
Anyone could get this.
China?
Yeah. China? Yeah, are you kidding?
Even China.
Anywhere. You could pick this, and they have iPhones there, too. Matter of fact, they could hack us and listen.
Wow.
Because that's what they do. That's usually how they listen to most things.
Even Detroit, Michigan?
Yes, even Detroit, downtown.
Especially Detroit.
I just name every state.
Downtown. Yeah, we want to do that. We could do that.
Colorado
is a state you can name. And
Colorado?
Yeah, yeah. Wyoming even.
Wow.
Madrid, crazy. Spain.
Okay.
What's another one?
That's all I know.
In fact, let me tell you this, and this is the God. Let me tell you this. This is the God's honest truth. But when internet radio was not as popular as it is today, and when nobody wanted to be on internet radio, and I was here on internet radio because I'd been on real radio, but you're not interviewing me, so I'm not going to tell you anymore. The thing is that there used to be people used to pick us up in places like Madrid, and we have a fan club in Japan, and a lot of the people don't speak English. What they do is they get one person who does speak English, and they listen to the show, and someone interprets it right on the spot.
No.
Absolutely. So you've hit the mother load here, okay? So the next time you see Conan, tell him that.
Yeah.
No. So
can you repeat all that? Sorry, I missed that whole
thing. Well, we're firemen.
Conan who?
So tell us, Barry. tell us, Barry. When I first heard your name, the first thing that struck me was Rothbart. And I didn't expect to hear Bart connected to Roth. I was thinking Rothstein, Rothberg.
Right, right.
What's the Bart? What is the origin of that name?
Well, that's my stage name. My name is actually Barry Roth. Bort,
I see.
And I thought that was too German, so I changed it to Bart. And since then, I've been getting a lot more work.
So you're saying that you think there's a little thing about hiring German comics? There's no German comics out there. You think it's bad?
No. Yeah. I mean, can you name any? I can't name one.
German comics.
Hitler.
Oh, come on, man.
I know that was really stupid.
Hitler's an improv.
Doesn't it? Aren't you suddenly just ashamed to be in the same business as this man when he says something? No, I don't know.
No, the truth is, it was given to me by my dad, and
well, so was mine. My name was given. What do you mean?
Yeah. I think you know they're just come from a long line of Jews, and I think it has some sort of German meaning, like red beard.
Okay.
Something like that. Yeah. Or have you never heard that last name?
No.
Yeah, me neither. You know, no. I'm the only one I know.
You could go online. There's plenty of other people you could meet. The thing is that there's German Jews are German Jews are Ludwigs. Is that correct? Ludwig is a German Jew. And a Russian Jew.
Yeah.
And a Russian.
I think so.
Yeah, Russian Jew is a Graziano. And it sounds Italian, but it is.
Okay.
I know a lot about Jewish people.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, let's talk comedy. So you want to, you don't want to be, you know immediately, you don't want to be a German stand-up. You don't want anybody to do that. So you change your name and what happens? Well, tell us a little bit about the history of you and comedy.
Well, I started in 1948 in Germany. I was from a long line of stand-up comics in this small Schädel.
48. That was a
family started.
48. And that was tough because you couldn't. It's like
really tough. Really tough.
You still couldn't do Nazi jokes.
In blackface, actually.
Couldn't do Nazi jokes in 48. Still, they were so guilty.
Right. Yeah, you know, it's just then you know you work your way up and.
Are you from California? Are you from California?
No, I'm from New York. I'm from New York City. I started in Boston, Massachusetts.
Where in New York City are you from? In Manhattan?
I'm from Queens, New York.
Well, I know Queens.
I don't know if you've heard of it.
I'm from Brooklyn.
Oh, where in Brooklyn?
I'm from Bensonhurst.
Ooh.
And I lived in Park Slope, and I know
my dad was born in Bensonhurst.
Really?
Are you my dad?
Yeah. You know, if I had a nickel for every time I heard that question, I wouldn't be here. Okay, so, and you worked in Queens? No, you went up to Boston, and that's where you did your stand-up?
Well, but before I was going to school, yeah, in Boston, and I was just, you know, I was kind of bored, and I wasn't too happy with life, and I had always wanted to do it, so.
Okay, why did you always want to do it? Why did you always want to do it? What do you, who were you watching? Who were you looking?
The truth was, I kind of wanted to be a film director for a really long time. I wanted to be like Woody Allen, and,
who started up?
You know, I wanted to make movies. So, and I knew that there were a few stand-up comics who had actually gone on to make films, Judd Apatow and a few others. And I was like, I think that stand-up comedy is the way that you become a director. So, I did that. And I was really wrong. I mean, it's just like,
right.
I think that happened to be a few people that did that. But yeah, it was you know, that was the reason I started. And you know, and then it was just. It was just fueled by attention and alcohol and
attention and alcohol. So when you were young, you were drinking.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
What do you mean young? Yeah.
Well, I mean, when you were, you said you were college as well.
I didn't. Yeah. Oh yeah. I drank in college. Am I not allowed to? No, I'm sorry. I waited till I was 21. You know, like everyone does.
Okay, let me. Well, this is
PG version.
Well, this is fascinating because you go you follow the road of a couple of people, and there are a couple of people. You know, other people started stand up. You know, 2-time Academy Award winner, that guy. I can't remember his name. This always happens to me. I open up those subconscious doors of mine.
Who? What?
Who was American?
American Beauty.
No, the Usual Suspects guy.
Oh, Kevin Pollak?
Yeah, of course. No, not Pollak.
Kevin Spacey?
Kevin
Spacey,
was a stand-up. Oh, see,
Kevin. No way.
Yes. Kevin Spacey.
Oh, I heard that. Yeah.
Yeah, but hear him do, he does some great imitations.
He's also gay. Did you know that?
No, he's not. That's not true. We know that.
Sorry.
No, it's not true. Maybe you know.
I found out the hard way.
Yeah.
On TMZ.
Oh, God. Next, okay, Mel Brooks wasn't. Mel Brooks was a writer. Oh, yeah, he did. Mel Brooks did stand up with Carl Reiner, of course, and then he did movies. But when you said you wanted
sure,
to...
Sure, yeah, there's a few others who went up. Mike Nichols.
We just met. Who just died today. Who died today.
Oh, yeah, he did die.
Or last night.
That sucks. Yeah, I found out... I found out just recently, and I was pretty bummed out about that.
We played Nichols and May bit. Earlier.
Oh.
Elaine May. She's another director.
Yeah.
She was
I thought the show was about me, but...
Well, we'll get back to it. Well, you know, you should be honored to be in the company of the names we're mentioning and the people we're talking to. I mean, so come on, hey.
I actually, you know, Mike Nichols was actually one of my favorite directors of all time, and, you know, it's pretty crazy. I mean, he was old, though, right? Like, he was, like, super old, wasn't he?
83. He died 83.
83, yeah.
That's super old?
God, imagine.
Yeah, I can, believe it or not. Hey, when you're watching movies, why did you want to be a film director? What films got you interested in films when you were a kid and bored or what have you?
Actually, Adam Sandler movies got me interested in them. And I knew that he directed a few films. I don't, you know, when you're like a young comic, you feel like you see the linear trajectory of certain. Oh, I guess this led to this, and this led to that.
No, you're telling me that before you saw Adam Sandler movies, and I didn't know which ones he directed. I have no idea.
Well, I was about to tell you.
Okay.
Oh yeah. But, I was about to tell.
He well, you know, I thought that he had directed this movie called Going Overboard, which was this really terrible film.
Oh, that's like one of the, that was way before he was popular.
Really weird movie.
Yes.
And, I have that on DVD and I regret it.
Right, yeah, I got it too, and I thought, I was like, wow, he directed that, and then he got on SNL, and then he became famous, and then he started making really good movies like Happy Gilmore and Billy Madison and Little Nicky. And I was like, that's how you do it. You know, you got to make your own films, and then you become famous, and you make more, and you star in them.
So are you?
That was the ones that I grew up on. And then I saw a show, Mr. Show, on HBO, and I was like, I want to get into sketch. And then I got into sketch, and then it was only after I got into sketch that I really got into stand up. It was actually I got into sketch first.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we
and then I decided, you know, it's hard to get a bunch of people in a room together, so it's easier to if I just do it on my own. And I just decided to do stand up because it's just easier than getting a group of people together.
Yeah, we had talked about our love of Mr. Show before, Barry, but I don't think Frank here is too familiar with that show.
Oh yeah, it's great. It's the best.
Yeah, did I ever show that to you?
No.
That's a,
no,
okay.
I'd be behind. I'm a little behind on that one.
Okay,
but I have seen. Go ahead, Barry.
Yeah, I know. It's like Monty Python. It's like it's got that kind of sensibility.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a good. Yeah.
That's a way.
I'll show you later.
Why? You know what? Why is it? And I remember this from Hollywood too. Why is it you always have to explain something in with comparison to something else? It's like, you know, when you used to go pitch a movie.
Because you know what it is? It's all the Jews are hard of hearing. You need to say two things.
What? Okay, yeah.
Oh, there you
two
go.
Things. Yeah, two things.
Two things. So now I'm just a little thrown off here. And that is that you're telling me that you saw Adam Sandler movies and then wanted to direct movies from seeing you, not even if you thought he directed it or not. Those are the movies that propelled you into toward directing?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's exactly what it says.
He's always saying that because he's not a fan of Adam Sandler like you and I.
No.
I thought you just didn't hear me.
Okay. I'm not judging.
I love those movies. I was like a huge fan of those movies, and then I like the sillier. I always liked sillier comedies. I also love Mel Brooks and
Woody Allen a lot.
All right. But his earlier stuff like Bananas, and, you know.
Right. Did you see Stardust Memory? Because that's a whole thing. We like your earlier stuff. Why don't you go back?
Yeah, isn't that funny? Yeah, I like his later stuff too. He's got a lot of good dramatic films, but yeah, I loved his earlier stuff. And then I got more into like film when I was in film school.
You're in film school. You see, this
like
is
like Shawshank Redemption.
Film.
Like, and then I watched so many of them, and I was like, I want to be a part of that. And somehow I thought stand-up was like a corollary to that.
And so how did you prepare yourself for stand-up then?
Drinking. I did a lot of drinking before I would go on stage for the first 2 years.
We used to, when we were writing what happened?
What?
You should never write... Or drunk or high, especially high. In the old days, we used to write high. We used to try to write jokes high. Man, that was like, because almost anything's fun. So many things are funny that are not funny when you're not high.
I know. Yeah, I mean, I do it all the time still.
But comedy is a strange thing. You go in front of people and you have the greatest material in the world, and one audience doesn't react, and another audience, then another audience reacts. And what do you do? Where did you hone your material, or what did you do? How did you come up with your stuff? I heard some of your stuff on YouTube.
Barry has a good story of the very first show he did at the Bringers show.
I feel like I'm at like a Thanksgiving dinner. And my mom, tell him the story.
Are they building something in your room, in your house there? Are they building something in your apartment? I hear banging in the background.
Oh yeah, I don't know what's going on. Someone's banging.
Okay.
Maybe they're listening. Are you guys live streaming?
This is live. Yes.
Oh,
sir.
They're probably listening downstairs.
Oh, okay. They're knocking. Turn that off. I'm knocking on the door. Turn that garbage off. Tell us this great story.
Wait, what? What story did you?
What
you
story
want
is that?
Oh, the story you told me when you did the Bringers show. And
the Bringer show.
You told me it was your first show.
Maybe he was drunk and he doesn't.
Maybe he was drunk when you. Maybe you were drunk when you told me.
You should tell it. I can tell you if it's right or not.
Oh gosh,
Barry, we're interviewing you, not this guy's here. This guy's here.
I want to hear his recollection of it.
Well then, he'll call you later. Let's get back to you.
The honest truth is I started comedy and I was, it was the day after September 11th, September 12th, 2001.
Really? That was a tough, there's a tough time to
begin.
Yeah. It was, and then you told jokes and then kept saying what? Too early?
Too early?
Is that what you did?
Yeah, what? No, yeah, too early. Too soon wasn't a thing yet.
Too soon?
Everyone said too early,
right. I said, too soon?
Yeah.
Too early?
You screwed up the too soon.
It was actually too soon to say too early.
It was too soon to say too early. Where were you playing at? Where, everybody was trying to get laughs after 9/11. Where were you? Or did you just make that up?
Oh, no, no. Yeah, it was the day after September 11th, and I had a show booked already for a few days. It wasn't even called September 11th yet. It was just like the thing that happened yesterday. And we got to the, you know, it was a Bringer show, which is, you have to bring four people, and I,
oh, wow.
I decided not to. I was just like, I just don't think I'm gonna.
And they still let you in? And they still let you in?
And no, they were like, you have to bring four people. I was like, what if I just pay for four admissions? And they were like, no, like, you need people in the seats. And I was like, okay. And I just went to the bar area and just was like, hey, who wants to see a free show? I'll pay for you.
You see, now?
Yeah, and I got three people and they were like, all right, we'll put you last. And then this guy, Dick Daugherty, who's like a comedy legend supposedly in Boston, comes backstage like this big lumbering guy, you know, it's like, one of these guys that has like, you know, he loves to explain shit to young comics, you know, that's like how he derives his power. And he just would, he was like, look, here's the thing about comedy. You can't bring up what happened yesterday. Talk about your life. That's it. And I had all these like things about, you know, the attacks that happened yesterday. Mm-hmm. So I threw those out and I just ended up just bombing so badly.
Everyone has great beginning bombing shows, bombing stories. But you know, what imagined to me was the first thing I thought is when you got there and the guy said, "Where are your four people?" You should have said, what? "Well, they worked yesterday. They were working. Yeah, I went to work yesterday. They worked in the towers." And that's the first thing that came to mind. And he would have went, "Oh, okay, go ahead."
Yeah,
he would have felt so bad.
I had people I knew who passed away there. So,
oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Very funny. No, I didn't.
Okay, well, then we're sorry you weren't there. No, I don't mean that. I mean Jeremy is what I mean. Jeremy and Joe. We don't even know this guy Joe. He just walked in, you know.
And where is he? Hello.
He's back. Hello. Joe. His name isn't even Joe.
Hey, Joe.
It's not even.
Hey, what's up?
Yeah.
Did you know anyone who was
in
9/11?
Know anybody in the towers?
No, but my aunt and uncle actually worked in the city, and my aunt got off of Boston to see the whole crap ton of smoke.
Okay, that's like, just people. You know, 8 million. It's 8 million people in the city. A lot of people saw the smoke.
I
know people who lived in the state at the time that the 9/11 thing happened. I know someone on the East Coast. He was there, and the planes came into New York. Barry, where are you? Barry, tell
you
us.
You're telling you're having a lot of fun.
It's just, well, we're good actors. Tell me about this. You have made some movies. Oh, you've been in a movie. You're in The Wolf of Wall Street, right?
That's right, yeah. I play the guy who dances in the background and screams a lot at people, and then I have two lines.
Oh, you had lines. That's more than
I get arrested at the end. I have a character name, and you would only know because it gets screamed out at the end.
Okay.
It was Peter de Blasio when they're arresting me.
Well, yeah. Scorsese.
I had a whole bunch of stuff. And
lists
then, you know,
everybody.
Scorsese was like, he was like, you know, I feel like he's taken the heat away from Leo. So he took it all out.
Yeah.
I see. That's, I see.
And well, that's noble of you, Barry.
What?
That's very noble of you.
Yeah, it was all my decision.
Do you realize that
I don't really care.
There are four people now trying to talk separately. Four of them. In this room, three here and one is the other one is Barry. It makes four. And three of us have been in movies, not Joe.
That's true.
What movies have you guys been in?
Jeremy's been in, you were in what, Jane Eyre, the remake? I don't know. I have no... Go ahead.
I've been Jane, yeah.
What were you in?
I was in... was it Jack Reacher with Tom Cruise?
No way.
Yeah. And
yeah, okay.
And
where were you in that movie?
I was in the bus station towards the beginning of the film.
Oh, great. I remember you. You were the guy who was just like, oh, the bus is coming.
Yeah, there I was, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, of course.
You know, one of the most recognizable.
You have the title line? You're like, hey, get out of the way, Jack Reacher.
Yeah, I was the one who said, you know what, you should name yourself Jack Reacher. And then they had to change the title of the film and everything because they thought it was such a good suggestion.
It was the first line of the movie.
And then I'm in this new movie that's coming out next year sometime called Me and Earl and the Dying Girl.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Frank, what were you in?
I was in Meteor with Sean Connery.
Yeah.
Rich, I used to be a resident here.
Meteor?
Do you do any? Yeah, remember that? It's a horrible
Who
movie.
Who else was in it? Natalie, what's her
the
name?
Other guy? The guy with the big Carl Malden, the guy with the big nose, Natalie Wood.
Oh yeah,
Natalie
course.
Wood.
There were a couple. A lot of these.
It's an older movie, Barry.
Yeah, it's an older movie, Barry.
That's great.
It's before Sandler. It's BS.
I've never seen anything pre-Sandler. Sandler's, yeah, I don't go that far back.
Okay. Okay, let's go back to what you've done. Yourself, you have. Where can we see this? There's a documentary called Hunger. It's a
Hungry.
Hungry about. That's what I'm thinking. Knut Hampson. Hey, you should do Knut Hampson's book. Get the rights. Hunger. Oh, someone should make a movie of that. Hunger. Knut, have you? Anyone read?
Nope.
Hunger?
No. I know what you're talking about.
Okay. Good comics. Okay. Here, let's move along. Let's go to this Hungry. What is that online or is it on CD or where is it?
It's on CD-ROM only. It's coming.
What did he laugh? What is so funny about
it? He doesn't get it.
It's on CD-ROM? Yeah. Is that not supposed
to be?
Yeah,
CD.
So it's
oh, DVD. That's right. It's DVD. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's on Amazon and iTunes.
It's available
it's
in beta?
On Hulu as of now. It will be on Netflix soon, and it's a documentary. It's about competitive eating.
So the guy, the hot dog, you got the hot dog guy in Coney Island who wins all every year? You got that guy, that stuff, those kind of contests?
Yeah, oh, that guy. Yeah, yeah, of course.
What's his
name? Yeah, Kobayashi.
Kobayashi, that's the usual suspects guy. Is that his name?
Yeah, man.
Whoa.
That would be a weird joke if I was like naming an obscure character from The Usual Suspects.
Yeah, wouldn't it?
I'd be like, yeah.
And I got it. That's the weird, really. We are weird. I got it. I have the a penchant for, and I don't work on it either, for the most ridiculous pieces of information. So let's talk about some more information. So it's on DVD and it's available.
No, it's not.
He said.
Yeah, you could, you know, you could get a DVD of it somehow.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure there's a way. If you want a DVD of it, I could figure out a way to get it.
Well,
yeah. You can figure out
a way. I thought he said there was.
No, he said Amazon or iTunes.
Oh, I see.
Amazon,
download. Okay.
It's going to be on streaming. It's on like a bunch of streaming things and video on demand.
Everything is downloading these days.
It's out there. It's really good. You know, I want more people to see it. So
yeah, well,
you guys want to see it?
We're going to tell everybody about it, and get people go over there, and I hope
everybody
buy as many of those as I'll trade you a book for a DVD. My book is
okay.
Available
yeah, what book?
On Amazon. License to Skill.
License to Skill?
Yeah, you laugh.
That's the book Frank wrote.
You just laughed at the title. Where do you read it? Why, it's laugh out loud funny.
Is that your book? Did you write that book?
I wrote that book.
You can get it on Amazon, Barry, for
that's
$3.
Amazon. You can get a digital.
It's a how-to on writing the special skills on your resume?
Not at all. No. It's an
very close, though. I mean, that's a good first guess.
You be the judge. What can I say? We're all judges of ourselves. You wrote and directed and put together Hungry?
Yes. It was myself and this other comic, Jeff Cerulli, out of New York City, who did it. And, it took 4 years. We started in 2009. Whoa. And pretty much wrapped it up in 2013. It came out in 2014. So it was a really long process. And, you know, it's if you ever wanted to know about competitive eating, this is the film. You have to watch.
Well, it certainly is a film about competitive eating. It's not going to be in competition with another film about competitive eating. So
right,
you got your own there.
Competitive documentaries.
Oh, hello. Well, I had my, yes, hello. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, of course.
What, did you want to ask?
CD Harrison? Just came out.
Huh?
His CD just came out.
Your CD, tell
my
us
album,
about
my album just came
sell
out.
Sell your album. Yeah, sell, give us a sell, a sale on your album, your record.
The record.
What is it? What is it called?
This really does. This really feels like my mom is like trying to brag about me. And keeps
well, we're
to
happy.
Tell everyone at the table.
We're happy that you're finding this complimentary because usually
when anybody compares me to their
wait,
mother.
Wait, Jeremy, what were you did you say something about a CD coming out?
Yeah, my CD will be out.
Oh,
on,
you. What about Barry? Barry, what is it called?
Oh,
wait,
yeah,
isn't the new
CD?
U2 CD coming out too?
My album? My debut album?
Yeah, your debut album. What's it called?
It is called Streets of Fire. That's the name of it.
Wow, that's a rather dramatic title for a comedy.
I know. What I'm makes a very it, dramatic person.
What makes it called Streets of Fire? Give us a...
It doesn't even do comedy on the CD.
It's not?
It's just dramatic interpretation.
If there's a... If there were a... If we were put
I just
on,
play episodes of This American Life.
If we were...
whole album.
I'm sure many of my audience understands that.
I play episodes of Serial. If you guys, you know, if you guys are done with this radio podcast and want to listen to a really... Really interesting one also, Serial.
Serial?
Serial.
We'll listen to it.
If you were to, if we were to put on.
Just plugging someone else's podcast?
Huh? It's okay. We're going to listen. It doesn't matter. We're not going to listen.
I might listen.
You might. Jeremy will listen because he wants to, you know, he's absorbing all this stuff. And he has such a large.
But you don't give a shit.
No, not at all. But I know I want to Barry. If we were to play a cut.
Can I ask you guys one question?
Sure.
Yeah.
How do you, what's the connection between you and Jeremy? How do you guys know each other?
Joe, why don't you answer that one?
I have no idea.
You know, he's a bum. He don't know.
Do you want me to answer?
Yeah, go ahead.
This is your only question, Barry. Are you sure you want to use it on this?
Yes, it's a two-part question.
I met Frank through a mutual friend about 7 years ago. At a wedding that our mutual friend was having, and we were both invited, and we both met, and we both had a love for comedy, and then we joined forces to be the best people ever in comedy.
Sorry,
okay, that's
I wasn't
his.
Paying attention to
that's
that.
His. That's okay because he just gave his side of the story anyway. That's not important. Here's what's important.
I have one more follow-up question. Important. Can we edit that part out of this?
No, there's no editing. This is live. Okay.
So, yeah, my album, Streets of Fire, it's out on also iTunes, Amazon. You could buy the CD copy at astrecords.com.
If
the record company that put it out.
Go ahead.
It's my debut album. It was recorded live at the Laughing Skull Lounge in Atlanta, California. Atlanta, Georgia.
A CD, we could play a cut, but on it's a little difficult with comedy CDs. So why don't you give us two jokes? why don't you just do it live? Why don't you just... No, okay.
You want him to tell a live joke? That's terrible.
He's been doing it all along.
No,
he's been telling the truth. He's been telling the truth. Well, the truth...
He lip syncs his jokes like Ashley Simpson.
So if you were to go back... So in film school, what did you find helpful or what inspired you way before Adam Sandler? Way before. I mean, in film school, you probably... Went into what? I mean, the history of comedy? Or did you look at a lot of very famous? Did Steve Buster Keaton?
No, I didn't know anything. I really, you know, everyone's always just like, hey, I was a big fan of Carlin or Pryor. It was like, I just liked weird sketch stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And like...
You mentioned Monty Python.
Obscure movies. You know, I was like, I was more into like Terry Gilliam.
Okay.
Like, really like weird... he made like 12 Monkeys in Brazil.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like I was into like weird movies more than stand up. And then eventually, like I had gone to a lot of comedy clubs as a kid. Like I went to the Comedy Cellar in New York.
Uh-huh.
I've been there, and I was just like, wow, like how do people do this? It just felt like some crazy weird wizardry.
Uh-huh.
That you could just get on a stage and like make strangers who are adults laugh at you. It just seemed so crazy to me. And then, like, I was like, you know, I really want to try it someday, and nothing else. So I tried it, and, you know, I got hooked. And that's the saddest thing. It's like, you're like, it's like heroin. You're, like, chasing this fucking dragon your whole career.
There's a
like
drink.
You get a laugh, and then you're like, oh, wow, that felt good.
That's true.
You know, like, oh, man, everything I've ever done is right. You know, and then you don't get a laugh, and you're like, oh, my God, I think I should kill myself. Let me try one more show. And then you just keep going.
So is it mostly that said, hey, this would be like a great and ultimately easy way to make a living and maybe excel as opposed
well,
to
yeah,
doing
everyone
what?
Knows that stand-up is easy money. You know, you go into it and it's just like, you make a lot of money first
right.
and then you figure out your voice and, you know, all that stuff.
What did you go to college? What were you studying in college?
Film. He said that.
Film.
Oh, you were studying film in college.
Pay attention,
yeah,
Frank.
Yeah, film and a minor in art history.
I thought he said he took film. Film. I thought he said you took film in college, but that could have just been a course.
That was like, film is like, you know, a big waste of time in college. You know, it's
I do know.
That's my major.
Might as well take like tennis. Like, you know, it's like crazy for somebody to pay.
You
like
think it's crazy? You think it was crazy when you went to college? When I went to the New York Institute of Technology, our film was actually done on film. It was a film course with a 16mm camera.
Oh yeah, I shot with 16.
Yeah, excellent.
Yeah, it was a great way to spend 6 months on something you'll never use ever for the rest of your life.
Hey, I can
you
top
know, like,
you.
I feel like 16mm is like teaching someone how to use like a steam engine from the 1800s. You know, it's like there's no point. It was very weird.
But what's amazing is that it's not even that long ago. Within a generation that happened. As far as the steam engines are concerned, that took a couple of generations.
Right, but I mean, like, you know, yeah, you learn the basics of, like, what it takes to edit something.
Right.
But it's, like, just teach us actual thing. Like, there's enough we could learn, you know, that we'll actually use now.
Right.
You know, we don't need to, like, spend, you know, 2 semesters on a Bolex camera.
No, no, not doing it.
Develop the film in a dark room.
Certainly.
And, like, just teach us editing.
Certainly not doing it, but watching and looking at the... history. Have you seen any of Mark Cousins' The Story of Film documentary?
I have, yeah. I've seen some of it. I think it's on Netflix, right?
It's brilliant. Is it on where? Is
Netflix.
It might be on Netflix now. Yeah. I know. I bought it. It's brilliant.
Isn't it like 24 hours? Like it's like so it's really long.
It's 8 discs, I think. Yeah. It is absolutely terrific. I would say everybody, I don't care what genre you want. You want to be a stand up, a sit down, or you want to be whatever you want to do. You've got to see that. That's the deal.
I picture like even Ken Burns is like, oh, this is too boring for me.
Really? You think Ken Burns was bored?
I feel like Ken Burns was just like, what? Because it's like 18 hours or something?
Yeah, but you don't have to watch it all at once.
I know.
I don't know anybody who sat down and read War and Peace all at once. I don't know anybody who finished it, to be honest with you.
Sorry, I've never heard of it.
Okay, let me just say we're on Cotolo. You're listening to Cotolo Chronicles, and all you people know because you listen to me every week and have been for years and years and years. But you're hearing Barry Rothbart for the first time on this show. And where are you off to that you have to leave at 10:15? You have to go. Where are you going to?
I'm going to the world-famous Ice House Comedy Club in Pasadena, California.
The Ice House. You know, I don't remember the Ice House. I used to hang out and sell jokes at the comedy store years ago.
That place is great.
Is it still there, right? Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's still there.
Does it set, I bet.
Who?
Pauly Shore?
Oh, yeah.
He still shows up.
If you want to call it a set, yeah.
Yeah. When I was there, he was just a kid because his mother owned the joint.
Yes, she still does, I think.
She does?
There's all this legendary stories about her, like, I don't know. I don't know if she's alive.
Well, the whole place is legendary. Did you want to say something to?
There's some. Just not to. Sorry, not to interrupt. But there's like some scary rooms in the comedy store.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can open a door and there's like the corpse of Roseanne Barr. Like it's like a very strange. There's rooms there that you're like, this is not good. Like something bad has happened in here.
There are some very little rooms. That's where I first saw Robin Williams in the small room, one of the small rooms.
Yeah.
And a number of people almost died during that performance because he sucked the air right out of the room.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah. You should do a documentary on all the scary corpses at the Comedy Store.
Yeah, be good. How about...
I'm not even talking about rooms where people perform. I mean, there's like closets in there that are the scariest thing.
Let's talk about creepy closets with dead vacuums and stuff.
Yeah, it's really weird. Like, there's like, Kelsey Grammer got a blowjob in this room. That's the only thing that's ever happened.
I was there when that happened, to be honest.
Yeah. You were in line after Kelsey Grammer. I'm next.
I think it was Paulie Shaw. No. Here, what are you doing now? You're just doing stand-up now, but you're doing... What else are you doing?
Right now, I'm actually pooping. I'm on the toilet.
You're doing that.
So are we.
Oh, there's the old...
We've been naked the whole show.
I'm
that's what we'll turn the show into later. What?
I have a show on Comedy Central that I'm working on. That okay. I sold and hopefully will be on the air soon.
Great. What is that about?
I don't think I'm at liberty to say yet what it's about, but it's about me. I'm going to do it anyway. It's like my version of Curb Your Enthusiasm, but wackier. And it's just about me living in LA.
Okay. It's one of those.
Barry, I saw on your website these old clips from when you first moved to LA about how to live in LA and be successful or something like that.
Oh yeah.
I don't know. All I know is that you were young because you didn't have a beard yet.
And I was way skinnier. Yeah, I did this thing where I wanted an agent, so I just cold called agents on camera and just was like, "Hey, I need an agent. Is that cool?"
Well, it's also possible.
Like, not even the agents. Like, there's just, like, the people who work at the front desk at these big agencies. Uh-huh. So, yeah, go check that out.
I just watched it.
That, there's something, you know, there's so many more tools available to people who want to do what you do. It wasn't always available. There wasn't even a channel dedicated to comedy that didn't exist in the early days. We didn't have the internet or didn't have YouTube, MyTube, iTube, iPhone. Didn't have anything. You just had to show up on an open mic night and hope that they would say, "We'll give you $5 if you come back and do 5 minutes."
How many miles did you have to walk in the snow each way?
Not in L.A. There was, as you know, because you've been living there, although the kind of snow difficult to walk.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot of opportunities to make stuff. I mean, it still has to be good. Everybody, I mean, I think people are like, I can make anything.
But then you fall. I'm fascinated
friend
with
the show, Adam Sandler. Did he like turn you guys down?
I'm fascinated. I turned him down. I'm fascinated at the phenomena of Adam Sandler. I think it's just a generational thing, you know.
I love him.
It's amazing how well there you go. It's a generational thing. I'm amazed at that.
I don't like him anymore. Let's get this clear. I don't.
He's made
garbage film after garbage film since I was a kid.
That's true, Barry.
When he became popular and became this, it was a phenomenon. I'm sure it surprised him.
Well, Frank says the only good thing about Adam Sandler is that he takes care of his friends.
He does. Doesn't
wait, what?
He takes care of his friends. I really admire that about him.
He does take care of his friends.
He became famous, he made a lot of money, and he made sure that a lot of these other stand-up guys who would have never gotten films or anything, and not just in his films, but he produced and did other films. He also made a film with Dana Carvey, who obviously made one or two.
You're talking about the master.
Because Dana's career tanked, of course, in movies, his movie career. And he's, you know, I mean, I don't think you can make it. Can you make a comparison? I can't make a comparison. I can't say those two names in the same... And that other guy.
But no, Chris Farley?
No. Chris Farley.
We love Chris
Farley. Oh, and then we got those guys.
Yeah, I think Chris Farley didn't have a chance to make a bunch of shitty movies.
That really put a pall in the...
You guys laughing at that made it seem so much more evil.
What is the ultimate goal then? I mean, you're directing a movie and you're like Mike Nichols and you're sitting in the I don't know where they do it now. It used to, the Dorothy Chandler. It's not the Dorothy Chandler. And you're sitting in the auditorium and you're nominated and you're waiting. What's the big dream? Or just make a living doing what?
I really want people to forward it around Facebook. Like, I want to be one of those guys that everyone's just like, this guy died and I love him.
You don't like.
This guy died? What is that? I don't
remember when I, you know how you hate how people go, oh, rest in peace.
Oh,
so
yeah, that's, oh, you want to be, oh, you want that.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you want to be one of those guys. So this
yeah,
is.
That, yeah, I want to go out, not like Bill Cosby. I want to go out like my
So this is about.
Do you know about that?
If you want the real answer.
Well, why start now, right?
I just want.
Real answers. Go ahead, what?
All I really want now is just money, you know. I'm just like trying to get my life together money wise.
That's good.
Then one day retire, you know, have a family.
Through
make my mom happy.
But through doing as a director or what have you. Have you worked on any?
Oh, like how do I want to get that?
Well, you got to get money. I mean, that's what I mean.
I love doing podcasts. Those are good money.
Yeah.
Films are fun. I love doing that. I was just in another film that I'm hopefully can promote soon with Dimitri Martin and Kevin Kline.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good life. It's a really easy life.
How did you wind up really getting this? How did you wind up getting this agent through those made?
How did I get my agent?
Yeah, through a clip you made, or did you wind up?
No, actually, I got my agents doing a festival called the Montreal Comedy Festival. Mm-hmm. With New Faces.
Okay.
Which is a, happens each year. They invite a bunch of comics. It's pretty prestigious still. I think it's like, it's the only real festival where you can still just have like a huge bump in your career from doing it.
Yeah, I think that there were a couple of young New Faces that died because I saw them on Facebook. So that is a very popular because you could make it big early.
They died
too soon
in Afghanistan. Where did they die?
Too early?
Too early? Too soon? Too soon? Too early? Barry, if you could name, well, I guess it's Adam Sandler then, right? So there's all artists and comedians, everybody are whether actors or others, a cornerstone, and somebody stands there, and you would build a statue. That's the person you would build the statue.
Him or Rob Schneider. You know, I'm a big Rob Schneider guy.
Well, Rob Schneider got all his work through Adam Sandler, didn't he?
Yeah. So, I mean, you know.
It really all comes down to Adam Sandler.
He was the one who gave Adam Sandler, you know, his talents and propelled him to where he was. But, yeah, I guess you could say Adam Sandler put him in his movie.
Well, how's L.A.?
I live in Los Feliz. Do you know
Los Feliz, of course, yeah. I absolutely know Los Feliz.
Right near the legendary, what's it, the Dresden. Apart from where they filmed.
Okay, I lived around the corner.
Should I give my exact address?
No, I don't think you should.
People come over.
I don't think you should. I don't think you should.
Everybody can send you fan mail.
We end every show with your phone number. What's your exact
phone number? Yes.
Listen, I've tried things like that.
Every guest on our show needs to give out their social security card.
Listen, I've tried things like that and having
the actual card, not the number.
Yes. I've tried things like that and have gotten no response, no nothing. Well, it's a double negative. But
like giving your number out?
Yeah, I've done stuff like that and nothing happens. I think that this thing about the internet, and I've been here since the beginning of the commercial internet, at least, and did all sorts of things that people were afraid of doing and nothing ever happened. You know, everybody is so paranoid about the things they do on the internet. It's really not that, you don't have to be that afraid.
Yeah, unless you say something bad about transgendered people.
Then
you have to really be afraid.
Then you have to be afraid.
So what else can we, what else do you got to say? How about books? Are you going to write any books?
I just don't believe that transgendered people are real people.
I didn't mean
I just want to go on record saying that. You know, yeah. I think it's like, pick a side. Are you a man? Are you a woman?
Well, I think you're just jealous that someone could be two people. You should learn to do that if you're going to act. You know, you're just one.
Exactly. I'm doing a new role where I play a transgendered person who can't act.
So you just follow one around all day and study him?
Yeah.
That should be easy. Where'd he go? Where's that? Down La Brea? Okay, so... Barry, Rothbard...
Sorry. This is really funny.
Yeah,
this La Brea.
Yeah. You could,
this show is full of the worst jokes.
You no, could, I like that. Oh, I think it's really funny. He knows. All the transgendered people.
I know the area. It's been a long time I was
You were one of the transgenders on La Brea.
No, I was not. But what about black people?
Who? Sorry, I don't listen to music.
What about...
That's too far.
What about Chinese people? What about... We're gonna... What, you gotta get going?
Yeah, I wish I could stay longer. I just really, I gotta get to the ice house and do a spot in front of, like, 10 people, probably.
Now, you go to the ice house, you're gonna go on... You got material, you're just gonna go on cold?
Yeah, I think I'm just gonna do material.
Can you
yeah,
believe that he let that fly over his head? At the ice house, and he just goes, well,
maybe
man.
I'll record it and I'll send it into the show.
With your social security card, please. Don't forget.
And you might want to interview the 10 people who were there. Maybe get a couple of comments from them.
This is live, right? So
yeah.
If anyone's listening, come to the ice house right now.
That's quite possible. Right?
Yeah. Go down to the ice house. It's on. Where is it? In the valley? Where is the ice house? In the valley? Where is the ice house?
Pasadena.
Oh, that's right. You mentioned that. Right. In Pasadena. Which is, that's a little drive from,
That's why I have to go.
Sure is, yeah, it's a little trek.
Don't forget, when you're on stage, just mention Cotola Chronicles and how it helped you rocket your career.
I'm using it as a credit from now on.
Good.
You guys been on the Cotola Chronicles?
Not the. It's
oh,
not...
just Cotola Chronicles?
Yeah, because that's what I do. Cotola Chronicles, it's a sentence. I chronicle, see?
Oh.
Yeah, it's not the.
Because
it's not about me.
It's very
uptight. Also a noun, like it's
yes,
your chronicles.
Absolutely, we chronicle. Yes. No, they're not my chronicles.
So it's a double entendre.
No, it's a I chronicle. Cotolo chronicles. It's like Cotolo sleeps, Cotolo eats. It's like Rothbard jokes and Rothbard
Jesus, man.
Acts.
This really took you to a dark place.
I am. I don't have to
go. You don't
go
know
to
the half of it.
I don't have to go to a dark place. I take it wherever I go.
We're currently in a dark place.
Barry, no, thanks a lot. I mean, yes, thanks
Thank
a lot.
You guys. I really appreciate it.
And come back
if
when you
guys
got...
need any follow-ups. I would answer any other questions you guys want.
Well, come back and tell us some other things. We'll try to sell your Betamax or whatever it is you have sale there.
At Amazon. It's a floppy disk.
It's a floppy disk. Yeah. We'd be happy to have you back anytime.
30 of them.
Thank you, Barry, and continued success. And don't forget to let us know what you're doing.
All right, thanks, guys.
Okay, bud.
See you, Barry.
All right, take care. Bye.
Ciao. Well, there's a man that's going places, and I think one of them is hell. Barry Rothbard has...
Oh, wait, you forgot to hang up.
I did.
He heard you.
No, I didn't.
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, I wouldn't say it to his face. That's a joke.
I
think he gets enough jokes. You know, it's such a... Oh, wow. Today gets a, it's deeply a generational thing. But because it isn't with me. Because when I was younger, I wanted to know a lot more than a lot of people want to know today. And it seems like it's the same thing with the musicians. People just want to get in and do stuff. And they don't really have a history of, experience. Or education. No, I can't have a history of experience unless you're already experienced. A history of knowledge. I don't understand why younger comedians and people want to be filmmakers. I don't understand how they're so attracted to just the people who ignited it
so
in their young.
The rest of the show bashing Barry?
No, this is no. I'll turn to you.
You and I keep talking about that a lot.
Yes, we do.
And just because, and you're right, but I don't think that's a negative thing necessarily.
Oh, and it isn't. No, but I do.
Is idolizing this person and being like,
About how people don't do research on, they only focus on their generation.
People are inspired by people in their generation, okay?
Rather than going back.
And they center themselves. They never think to go back, like, well, where did that person
like
get
people
this?
That think the that roots. The music they listen to, oh, well, they had no influence outside. If it wasn't for, you know, B.B. King, there'd be nothing that
sure.
we have today.
Exactly.
And why don't they look
and
that
And that's
right?
not
oh.
even, you and it's even, you even got to go back further if you're like B.B. King, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
see
yeah.
what I'm saying? I don't understand why people aren't immediately just hungry, speaking of hungry, why they're not starving for the root, for how deep it goes and how much they can learn and get from dead, buried dust. When I mentioned the story of film, his guy Mark Cousins, he's a guy who knows film, he's a guy who went and said, I don't know everything there is about, I'm going to go back as far as it can go. And in film, you can, because it's not like a billion years ago. It's not like being a historian. It's not like being Joseph Campbell is trying to learn things about, you know, legends and stuff. This is like, you can do it, and you've got this hunger for it to stop. I would almost be, and this has nothing, I'm not trying to be pejorative to the people, because I've had these young people on when Alana Breisch was on, and of course, and you're on all the time, and Grace is on. I'm astounded at how they don't look more deeply into the people in their craft, and because there's a wealth of stuff there, not just to find out where stuff. There's a wealth of stuff that, and it just.
And plus, those jokes are so old that you could steal them and nobody would know.
You see? Well, you know, they were stealing.
That's how you make Monsieur said.
The
it?
Point yeah. is that, you know, when you get a guy
the
like
bulk of it.
When you get a guy like Milton Berle or a guy like Jackie Gleason, and they were being harassed for stealing jokes. So you're going to say, like, well, where the hell did they get them? Even if you didn't even know them. How far back? What was vaudeville? What was this all about? Who are these people? And you watch TNT, or you watch, if you're not watching Turner Classic and watching these old movies, whether they be comedy or not. Last night, in the middle of the night, I happened to wake up in the middle of the night, and I know these voices in the back of my head. It's Laurel and Hardy. And I had Turner Classic movies on, okay? Mm-hmm. And and it's sad. It's really sad, because their careers in the 40s, they were horrible. In other words, their career was pretty much over. They were making these movies, and there was like, you know, they were just making these. And if you had seen Laurel and Hardy in these MGM movies in the 40s when they were just on their way out, okay, and everything was being written for them, they lost total artistic control. If you didn't know any of this stuff and you just saw them, you would say, wow, people were like laughing at this junk. Mm-hmm. They were going to see, you know. But you look at it, and then you would ask somebody else, and they would go, what, Laurel and Hardy, are you kidding? You don't know? And then you would be led to the brilliance of the, because you know why? It's such a weird name, I can't get Rothbart and Jeremy Long and me and Joe here and anyone else, not me, because I'm over, see? But you're going to have this, no matter what happens, and no matter how big, and no matter how popular you get, you're going to have this run. And the run's going to be over. And then you're going to want to, like Jim Carrey, going, I could be in a Steve Carell movie because he's the hottest thing. And then he does the amazing Wonderstone filth face or whatever, right?
Yeah, that was terrible.
Because he was in it, okay, and now what does he have to do? He has to go back and do Dumb and Dumber because he had his run, okay? We don't know where he's going from here, and it could take a turn. He could go somewhere else, all right? Yeah, well, that's it. During that run, if you're not totally absorbed and influenced by everything, even the serious stuff, then you're going to hit a wall, and that's it, and it's over. So the people, there's a wonderful book out now. Also, it's a it's a biography of Bob Hope. And it's written by somebody who, when he was a kid, hated Bob Hope. He saw the Bob Hope in the 1960s that he saw on television, USO show. This Bob Hope that he saw, he hated him. And these guys are like, you know, this is ridiculous. He's just, you know, he was classified as one of the big right-wing Republican guys. You know, he was like, get out of here. I hated him. During that time, by the way, at that time, only one person, he mentions this in the review I read of it, the writer mentions, there was only one person who called Bob Hope a genius in that time when everybody was running around, and that was Woody Allen. because Woody Allen knew from, and I remember telling, I remember seeing Love and Death, the Woody Allen movie, and I remember pointing out to somebody who was saying, look, he's doing Bob Hope. And they didn't even know. They said, what are you talking about? That's Woody Allen. They didn't even understand how he had lifted it. Okay? If you say the name Max Schulman, and all you think of is a sitcom called Dobie Gillis, The Lives and Lives of Dobie Gillis. If you don't know Max Schulman from when Max Schulman was the foundation of all those guys, Woody Allen, lifted from Max Schulman. If you don't know, if you haven't read those books, you haven't looked and see what's going on, what are you missing? You're missing the most amazing stuff in the world. You're walking around and you're saying things that just come to your head, and I don't know what you're doing. What I'm saying is these things have influence. And when you look at them, you know what you like and what you don't like. I'm not saying you have to like them all or anything. I'm just amazed that Adam Sandler could be the foundation of anybody who want, be foundation. That's outrageous to me. I just like outrageous. I don't understand it. I'm not judging it. I just can't understand it. I don't understand it. And I'm not saying that's bad. I'm just saying that because anybody who gets you, anybody who lights the spark and gets it going, whether you're a writer or a painter, whatever, is fine, okay? But where does that go? Does that just go to the other people who are your contemporaries, who are your... I don't understand that. I never, ever, ever, growing up, was able to... Even people I worked with didn't know other people. I just didn't understand. How do people not do this? My name is Frank Catolo. I'm the man whose name adorns the title of the show. And I was in Meteor. like you care. And this is Catolo Chronicles here.
If this was a TV show, we could show the...
Jeremy Long is not a TV show. Jeremy Long's with us. And hold on. Jonathan Minnick.
Hey.
We call Joe. Just another Joe for Jonathan Minnick. Jonathan, do you have any aspirations in terms of the arts or show business?
Yeah.
Okay, does. Actually, okay. Yes. Wait, let's talk. Okay, so let's talk to you.
I only want to do one thing and one thing only.
Hold on a second, because I have to move the microphone. This is not exactly, ABC. When we were doing this, it's better than ABC because it's new, it's fresh. It's just like when it's happening. Plus, we have an engine in the back. And that engine, that's running the show. That's the engine that runs the show. What? It's
go ahead.
I thought it was your stomach. What? Tell us, because if you're friends with Jeremy, you probably have some.
Yeah.
What?
Actually, the only thing I want to do for the rest of my life is entertain people, whether it be making films, whether it be making music.
Let's look at this for a second.
Music
this,
or films or maybe even games.
I hit Jeremy with this one day, and he was like, "Why? Why?"
He hates when people say, I just want to make people laugh.
Now listen, do you see what he did? You see how he expressed himself? I hate it. Like I walk around. It's like he was like, it's
that
like,
guy. Huh?
Think about this for a second,
ruin
Jonathan.
The rest of your night,
think
you're
about
not gonna
what.
Sleep.
Think about what Barry said when I was explaining him the title of the show. It's funny. Oh, you're going to a dark place. Yeah, nowhere near as dark as where where was he? What was he doing? He was doing these things and rattling off these things that were pretty dark, were considered very dark.
He
probably really was.
Yeah. Right, and you get.
I hope so.
He better have been.
Yeah.
That got weird.
When someone says, I never believe anyone, when they say, I just want to entertain, I just want to make people happy, I just, that's crap. I mean, that's just really basically in a deep, it's crap. You know, when he started to say, I want to make money, make a lot of money and be one of those guys, they say RIP, that made more sense to me because it was that would be more true.
Yeah,
it would be truer.
Bad.
More true is terrible English. It would be truer. Then, and I would respect that, it's like the evangelist who goes out and screams about, the guy who really believes, the guy who knows he's a phony, that's the guy I respect, because he knows it's a gimmick, he knows it's a trick, he knows he's putting him on, the con man, the guy who really believes it, never trust him, never, ever, ever trust him. So when you say that... When you look, I'm not going to put you into therapy, although I think you need it.
No,
I think
if we can get some free therapy here, let's go for it.
Well, what when you say that, what does that mean to you? If I can't accept that, I just want to entertain people. Why? There's plenty in
this
world.
Might work better
do you
for
know
you?
That if you and I and him died right now, people would still be entertained to do whatever it is that we do that they like. It wouldn't even matter. What is it?
I start off, I'm lazy, so...
Good! Why, I like that! I like that! That's
why get
good.
A job where I have to wake up at 9 in the morning?
I love
it. Screw that, I don't want to drink
it.
Coffee.
I love that.
I'd
that's
rather
true.
Tell jokes and... Wait, I can get paid to just sit here and
right?
talk?
Right?
Did you sign me up for
did
that?
Did you hear
shit?
Barry? You just get paid a lot of money... And
she had that all wrong. I wasn't when I said that he was.
Like, I even care if it's thinking, a lot of money. If I can just live in a little crappy house or you know whatever, and just tell Joe I'm done.
You
done.
See, that's tenacity and gratitude. See, he's
a
saying
bottle of alcohol here again.
You see what he's
he
saying?
Just quoted the-
you hear what he's saying?
She just quoted the name of the documentary I made about him.
Yeah, because
goes,
that's
it. Tenacity and gratitude,
he's
right
got
there.
It. Well, you titled it. I didn't title it. That's it right there. He's saying, look, if I could do this my life, I don't have to be the most famous person or the greatest person. I can make a living doing this garbage. That'll be great.
That's
this
what
is
I've
it.
Been saying.
No, you said you want to make. No, you want to make people laugh, and I said you want to make people. If that's all you want, then carry a banana peel with you, and everywhere you go, slip on it and fall, and everyone will laugh.
And I'll be dead by tomorrow.
But you see what I'm saying?
You'll be dead. You have brain damage.
You see,
damage.
But you see what I'm saying? So it's
what
like.
Was that?
So that's not true. But if you say, look, that's a great way to make a living, and I enjoy it.
Right.
You know, don't you enjoy
well,
when you do
you're
something?
You're supposed to get paid doing... Someone always said, you know, find a job that you enjoy doing and
yeah.
you don't have to work a day.
Right. Well, that's right.
The only thing I enjoy doing is my love. Well, you know, playing
say,
video games, you know. And
well, you, I don't know how you can make money playing video games.
Yeah, man.
That's a little tough.
You'd be agent.
But entertaining, but you haven't decided exactly which one? Because you said, oh, either playing music,
anything,
making...
If I could do anything, it'd probably be the music. I think I'd enjoy the music a little bit more. But...
Frank used to do music.
That's
really tough these days.
My two biggest things in my heart is music and, you know, comedy, so...
Okay, so do funny music.
Yeah, I
maybe it'll sell.
I really like Stephen Lynch. If you ever heard of him, he does the same thing. And Bo Burnham, who I know Jeremy has heard of. So,
sure,
and
I know Bo.
Oh, you know Bo.
I mean, I've heard of him. I don't know him. He wouldn't spend 10 minutes with me. But that's okay.
he tweeted us though.
Yeah, so, you
well,
know, and
you
we have it on our calendar. And every year, on that day, we celebrate. We go out to eat. This is the day that Bo Burnham, tweeted us. Oh, my God. I think you really need to understand your own participation in doing this thing in art and stuff is probably what you need the most. And that's why we do it. And I think that... You know, so I think here's my tip. Don't ever tell anybody you enjoy entertaining people. I think they're like, I enjoy what I do, and if it entertains people, fine. And
if not,
they'll find some way that they can pay for it. Because bad stuff sells too! or something. As opposed to, because there's nothing altruistic about entertainers and artists. Really. Egos, there's ego. We know. We have to understand our ego. We have to massage it. I know I do that. Like I used to do that 3, 4, 5 times a day. Not anymore. Jeremy's too busy on his iPhone. See, this is why right now.
I'm thanking our guest.
What
okay?
are you doing?
I'm thanking our guest.
Oh, thank Barry.
He says thanks.
Okay, and we'll have him on again.
Tomorrow.
But as long as he's, tell him he'll be on again, as long as he's funnier. He'll like that. That's his humor, his type of humor. What do you do now? To encourage yourself to do this kind of stuff because you're bumming in Grantville.
Right. I talked to Jeremy and hopefully we can start writing something and maybe
you were doing a skit before.
Yes,
you were writing a skit.
Yes, yeah. And maybe even make a little film here and see how that works. And oh well, if it works, well we'll make another one. If it doesn't, you know, we'll
hopefully it'll but inspire people.
In the meantime,
if
how
worst
do you eat?
Comes to worst,
you live at home. How do you eat? You live at home
or
does your wife
my dad,
work?
Yeah, my dad. You know.
Your dad.
What
does
wife?
That mean, my dad?
Oh, I mean my wife. I mean my wife, yeah.
Your wife,
I have a beautiful wife at home, and she takes care of me.
Yeah. She does all the housework and goes to her real job.
She even changes the oil in the car. It's
well,
great.
Say hello to Mom for me, would you? Now, we've come up with a couple of more names of comedy clubs. You know, what we do here every now and then, when Jeremy's on. We really don't do it when Jeremy's not on. Because we try to be serious. We try to be serious and take up our topics. We actually have smart, very intelligent people
sometimes.
On. Sometimes. What we like to do is we come up with the names of clubs that could be comedy clubs that we don't know. We haven't done any research. We don't know if they exist, but we come up with names, and then we shoot out there in the universe, and then if somebody out there listening going, hey, well, you should name your club that, we let them have the name. So that's totally, we don't want royalties.
As long as they give us 50%.
We don't want, no, we don't ask for royalties.
Off the top.
We don't ask for royalties like that, and we've come up, let's,
we're very
you know,
generous.
In the past, let's see what we came
to. Did you have the old ones?
Yeah, we're going to do some, we'll do some of the old ones for those who haven't, but don't get too close, because, you know, you always blow out the.
Yeah, because I'm used to doing stand-up.
Well, when you do stand-up, do you always stick the mic right into your ear? Because you can't hear.
I suck on it.
Yeah, that's no good. Okay, so in other words, we had these clubs. These are names of clubs.
This is our old list?
Yeah, this is the old list. Okay. You want to read some of those to the old list there?
Yeah, I remember my show. That was just last month at Grins.
Grins?
Yeah.
Okay.
Grins.
And some of these I... Oh, the Hilarity Hospital. I was just at last week.
Riddles.
What? Riddles? You like riddles?
Riddles. Just riddles.
Sounds like a gay club.
Riddles?
Yeah.
Riddles sounds like
I'm gonna go
you know, I want to tell you something.
I
want to tell you something. You should team up with Barry. You do his transgender material. You could do gay material. You guys will be dead inside of a month.
I'm all open.
I mean, you know.
But we'll have a good comedy club.
Go ahead.
What?
Right,
the Chuckle Castle, which of course stole their name from the Chuckle Hut, which was first.
Well, the Chuckle Hut was a smaller place.
Yeah.
I know some of my jokes are obvious, but you still have them because there's only five jokes in the world.
My all-time favorite place I've ever played, though, is Nudge Nudge Wink Winks.
That's a funny one. Nudge Nudge Wink Winks.
And of course, I have a weekly gig at the Clown Quarters.
Clown Quarters.
Yeah.
Do you have to dress up to go there, or is that just
everybody else does?
All you have to do is bring, as long as you bring a horn, you're good to go.
It's the same thing at Riddles, the gay club. Bring your horn. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. The Crack Up House.
Crack Up House.
And what?
Crack House.
What'd I say? The Crack House?
Yeah, you said no crack up. I was saying they had. It's pretty good.
You had some this morning? And House of Humor. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
That's just the House of Humor.
what?
I'm changing this one.
You're changing it? My station? You don't like station?
No, they changed it.
They did?
It was Sid's Sarcasm Station.
Now
it's Sid's Sarcasm Saloon.
A saloon, yeah. Because we had too many stations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they decided to change their name. What else is this? The Jester's Court.
That's a great name, Jester's Court. Think about that.
And then the place I will never play again is Homo Sapien Ha-Ha's.
Homo Sapien Ha-Ha's. That's around the corner from Riddles again. Homo Ha-Ha's, they call
Homo
Ha-Ha's.
For short.
Guys are terrible. Let's look at some of these new places.
Cause
they're popping up like. You want to say some?
I want to see them.
But I want you to leave out one here. I'll do one column. There's two columns here, and I know there's a lot of them. Well, this just my father used to say.
Did you tell them that I'm booked at
every Jeremy,
single one of these?
You could see Jeremy at any of these.
next month.
One per day for the next month.
There's 36 of them.
Yeah.
And he'll be there at the... there'll be free admission on Mitch Hedberg Memorial Day.
When's that?
All right. My father used to say, back in the late 50s, early 60s, when there were a lot of stores, that's when stores were coming. I mean, there were chain stores coming up. And he used to say they're coming up like pizza joints, because there was one point where in New York where suddenly there were pizza places everywhere. Italian families opened the pizza places. And pizza places, of course, were big fronts for, you know, mob, you know, because they had real businesses. But and pizza place everywhere. Every block you could go, there was a pizza place. Right, come on. So the comedy clubs. Because in the 70s, they used to say comedy's the new rock and roll, because people were stopping playing in bands and everything, and they were going into comedy. You know?
Okay.
Stand-up was big in the 70s, certainly in the end, into the 80s. Okay, so now, more and more, because people are like Jeremy, and everybody's going out and And you're going to do it someday, right? You're going to go out and do a... You
got I would like to.
Do you have a set together yet?
No.
No, huh?
No. Okay. I kind of, you know... When I worked at my old job, I kind of made one sort of...
You have a couple meth measures? Okay. So here... So we have places... And, you know, it gets tougher and tougher to name a comedy place because it starts to get weird. Like you said, you know, once you run out of the basic ones, the Comedy Store, right? You got to get, yeah. You get more and more esoteric.
Creative.
You got to get really creative. That's why the Library of Laughter is open. The Library of Laughter is opening.
And that'd be a good place. Hope I get booked there.
You get booked there. Right? Thank you. There you go. That's wonderful, right? You probably have a volume of material that you want to, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And everybody, by the way, in the library.
When everybody laughs, you have shh.
Right.
Keep the laughter to a minimum.
That's right. And the acts all appear in alphabetical order. Now, here's a crazy place. The Stage for Stooges. Stage for Stooges or Stooges Stage? How about that? Stage for Stooges.
The Stooge Stage.
Okay, the Stooge Stage would be good. Okay. Let's hear about a stage. The Punchline Palace is a very big place.
Yeah, but it's a lot like the Punchline Emporium.
Is there a... You see? See how hard it become now? Right. I think they're suing them. Using the word punchline.
The Punchline Court.
How about Pun's Place?
Pun's Place.
How are you going out to Pun's Place tonight? And then you would, and then everything they say in there, I guess, is a pun considered the lowest
you can
only
form. Speak of yes,
it's the lowest form.
Of, oh yeah,
of is joke. It the lowest?
That's what they say, isn't it? The pun,
but it's the best.
Yeah, the lowest, but the best.
Here's a place where these acts go by real quick.
Like Matt.
Quickly. They go by real quickly. One-liners. One and one-liners. That's it. Don't get me into stories. Don't tell me about your dad and your uncle and your aunt. One-liners. Funny thing happened on the way to... No? Take my wife, please.
Oh, this, no respect.
Hey, my wife didn't wait. My wife wanted to go somewhere that she never went before. I said, hey, why don't you try the kitchen? Okay. You want to read some?
Yeah.
Okay, here. How about this side? Keep this side.
That's your side?
Yeah, just go that side there.
I can't look at them?
Don't look at those because we want reactions. Okay? Yeah. I know.
Okay.
He's laughing before he says it. Go ahead.
Yeah. This they just built this out in the country.
Out
in the country, they just built this one because they didn't really have too many comedy clubs out there, so they built the Farce Farm.
The Farce Farm. See, he's good because he hasn't heard anything. So he's getting these all very fresh. Go ahead.
Yeah.
And now, what about this next one? go to the one you want then, and just go to the ones you think
otherworldly. Kind of alienated in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. Planet Satire.
Planet Satire.
Yeah.
Sounds like it's for the more intellectual comedians, doesn't it? Planet Satire.
Yeah.
That's where.
Claire will be there.
Claire.
Planet Claire. B-52.
Oh, I thought we just lost everything there for a second.
That's
a save. Screensaver. Don't you? Don't you? I think he just found one he really wants to play. You really want to play this place,
No,
huh?
I'm already booked at this place. I just completely forgot about it.
Yeah, where?
Eyelaughs.
Eyelaughs.
Yeah.
There are two new clubs in the Silicon Valley. They are?
Eyelaughs and E-Laughs.
E-Laughs. Small E.
Eyelaughs. Eyelaughs and We Laughs. We Laughs is right next door.
E-Laughs.
And then also We Laughs.
Relapse. In the Silicon Valley, get it?
Yeah.
I and E, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, where did the we come from?
No,
maybe it should be French.
The
French
we.
Club. We laughs. O-U-I. We laughs.
Oh.
How about that?
Yeah, that could be it.
Yeah, okay.
This one is, but it's Chamber of Chuckles.
Chamber of Chuckles.
Chamber.
So there's a lot of echo in there. Tell a joke, you know. The other day. I was out.
Okay. This place has more ambulances than any other comedy club I've ever been to.
Ambulances in this place?
Yeah. Buster Guts.
Buster Guts. Don't you like that, Buster Guts? Yeah. I like that one a lot. Buster Guts. Isn't that? And there's another one there that's pretty good too.
Which one?
Yeah. Huh?
No, they're in the same building.
Are
just
they?
One, this one's on the second floor. Side splitters.
Yeah, it's getting down to side splitters. Huh? Where are you playing this weekend? Well, first I go to Buster Guts. And then I'm going to be at the... There's a voice again. I make up that crazy. Yeah, just go ahead.
This one, I haven't played that yet, but I'm so excited to. It's not... probably not...
Jesus, you don't... You know, you're like a... You don't need a mic when you do a stand-up.
No, I usually
you
don't.
You do have a... You know, a powerful...
Just a natural...
Comes from that bulk of a body you have. it just comes out there. Yeah. Finally, a t-shirt I like.
He
usually wears these things.
Yeah,
I know. So you, go ahead.
That's
how you should start. You should start your routine. That would be great.
I go on to that if you want.
You're saying, you know, what's it with these Beatles? I got to tell you, I'm a little tired of these Beatles. Really overrated. I think that would be great. You start with that one.
This new fad. This new band.
What's this Beatles
in the market?
You know what George? You know what George Carlin said? The wrong two Beatles died.
Nuh-uh.
Oh yeah.
I say that.
You see, you don't know. If you would look at your... If you would read...
I'm a George Carlin fan. You know, I've never heard him say
isn't
that.
Isn't that something?
I go up to and people, I gotta tell look you. Them in the eyes, and I'll tell them the wrong Beatles died.
You see, this is
like,
why...
Man, I'm like, Paul should have gotten cancer.
This is
like,
why you have to look at... this is
like
why you have to...
That joke. Like I've been
you gotta, you gotta be looking at it. No, you can't be sued for... You can't copyright a joke. That's one thing you can't do. But you should... Okay, but that would be a good one. That would be good. Let's start with that. What's with these Beatles? What's with this Beatles?
Start right off the bat.
Yeah, go ahead, just Beatles. Right off the bat.
Coming to the stage now, Mr. Joe Minnick.
And then Joe Minnick. I think it should be Joe. Yeah. I think it should be Joe Minnick.
He comes out and goes, what's with these Beatles?
What's with these Beatles? Okay. What's with this?
Zannyland.
That's my new
Zannyland. What makes anyone think that if
like
through
I'm
your life, the love you give will be the love you take is the love you... Who made that one up? The what equal to the... Where did that one come from? It's one of their heads. One of their LSD heads it came from. Go on. Maybe I could write for him. Go ahead.
You just write my whole spot.
I'll write your whole thing. You
right now.
Yeah. I don't want to go out and say
it. My whole set, so might as well.
Might as well, because if I go out there, I'm just going to tell everybody they suck and at the end...
You guys suck!
Let me tell you this right off... What?
He's left. It's even written in a different ink than the other one.
What is that?
Like you came up with it way down the line.
I did. I was on the bowl and I had a different pen. And I thought of that one. Tell them the last one. What is it?
This is.
What's it called?
It's just effing funnies.
Because you can't put the real word up there, so you use effing. That's effing. Effing funnies. You forgot Screwball's pit stop. The facade. And my favorite, one of my favorites, Comicadia.
Oh,
that's a beautiful name, isn't it?
Yeah, I would actually work somewhere.
I would get people. If you went to collect money, if you went to get people to invest in a company, have this place Comicadia. It's going to be comedy everywhere. Everywhere you turn, the waiters and the waitresses are comics. Aside from the people who are on stage, you got to serve, and then you get to be on. Everyone's got to be a comic. You can't say anything serious in Comicadia.
The announcer, the MC's coming up. You may have seen this next comic waiting your table and bringing you your drinks.
Right. Cleaning up you from that kid in the corner.
And when you come in, because it's places you eat there, right?
Waiting for table 12.
No, there's a, yeah, there's a, in the back, you hear this voice going, Indianapolis, table for 500. Right. Chicago, table for 7. Right, you keep hearing that, and it's just going on. Comicadia would be like a smash. If I had any interest in owning a place like that, I would. That's what I would do.
Yeah.
Okay, great, you got U.S. Right. Oh, you didn't say that because you were on this side. Okay, that's why.
Yeah.
Okay, Brad, the Punchline Palace, Puns Place, One Liners, the Comedy Crawl Space. That's a real small crawl space.
Yeah. What?
Screwball's Pit Stop.
How many people does that place seat?
7. But not at the same time. Okay, there you go. Comic Katie is one of my favorites. I'm going to give you my ultimate favorite. And last.
This is
okay?
One?
No, Comic Katie is close. Oh. You get that? Because of, yeah, okay. Good one. The Wacky Shack.
Wacky Shack.
Hey, how you doing? The guy. Who's on tonight's show? Hey, the guy had to talk like that in the Wacky Shack.
Yeah.
And what?
No, I said, yeah.
Okay, yeah. The Comedy Corral. Bar, why you sad whining son of a sea cat? Everybody talks like Jimmy Stewart. The side, the, okay. I like stand up and laugh. How about that?
Stand up and laugh.
There's the name of the party. What are you playing tonight? Stand up and laugh. All right, yeah, but what are you playing tonight? Okay. The Comedian Consortium is...
Okay.
That's gonna. They're gonna sue.
Everybody has to be in business attire.
Yeah, they're gonna sue the Emporium for the consortium.
Yes.
The hilarious headquarters is just. I don't know why that's funny. Is it the hilarious headquarters? For yeah. It's like, where's the rest of that sentence? How about this with K's? Because what do they say when you do a great set? I killed them, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but you got to use K's for K for comedy, and it's called Comedy Killers.
Ah,
K's.
Comedy Killers.
Okay. Now I'm going to give comedy you my favorite. Effing Funnies is pretty good. And you didn't mention Hee Haw Harry's.
Hee Haw.
Hee Haw. I'm going to tell you something. If the name of the... And this is
that
would
your
be,
favorite?
No, that's not even my favorite. And this is what... This is like... The slogans are... Look, if the name of the place makes you laugh, imagine what'll happen if you come here.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? Imagine the people. I'm sorry, I mentioned Beatles. Imagine, is that a Beatle? I can't use that word anymore. You didn't mention Zanyland. That sounds like an amusement park, doesn't it?
Zanyland. That sounds like a place you're going to get.
Amusement park, doesn't it? Okay, that's it. Now, except for my favorite.
Here's
Snickers. That's stupid. It probably is a Snickers. Here's my favorite. Okay, you ready for this?
Yeah.
Are you ready for this?
Yes.
Eat it, Joe's.
Why is that your favorite?
Because it says nothing about comedy. And always, in the old days, if you had studied your comedy, there was always the name. There was always this advertisement that people said, eat at Joe's. Like Joe had this place. Eat at Joe's. Eat at Joe's. Yeah, eat at Joe's.
Like, so where are you going?
It's like
going
Kilroy was here. Does that mention? Do you
Kilroy?
Remember that?
Yeah.
Everybody was writing Kilroy. Eat at Joe's. I tell him that'd be good. Okay. Well, I'm not opening any of them anyway. It doesn't matter.
At first, I thought you said, eat it, Joe's.
What's your favorite?
Eat it.
What was your favorite?
That's what I said.
Eat it, Joe's.
Eat it, Joe's.
Eat at Joe's.
His favorite was Hee Haw Harry's.
Hee Haw Harry's.
Hee Haw Harry's.
Oh, yeah.
That would be a great place. This is Cotolo Chronicles. I'm chronicling, although nothing particularly important. Although, that's a matter of opinion. What's important is subjective. Although, some people who have talk shows will tell you what I'm saying is important. Those big blowhards, and now there are girls and women, too, who get up there and tell you that they know, because they know things. Well, here on Cotolo Chronicles, we don't know anything. We give you some ideas you could think about. We don't know anything, and we're not going to tell you how to think. Way to go. We just want to plant that thing into your head. It's what we've always been about. It's what we're about now, and that's what we do. Go ahead.
Barry says, tell Frank thank you. Yeah. He says you were nice, and then I told him that I hope our show got more people to come see him at the Ice Cube, and that his floppy disk sales go through the roof.
Okay. Floppy. The roof of the ice house is probably easily cracked. How could they keep it cold in L.A., in Pasadena? How do they keep the ice house? I wonder why that's called the ice house. I mean, is there a theme there?
Everybody,
you don't hear this
comedy
on,
and on, ice cream.
You don't hear this on Fat Boy Right Wing show. Is that his name? Fat Boy Right Wing? And now here's Fat Boy Right Wing.
There's a couple of those.
Well, there's a lot of... I have it's not bitterness. It's not disdain, although those would enjoy descriptions of how I feel. Those would... contempt. That's the word. I love when I find the right word. Oh my God! It's like it's like peeing after an hour of sitting somewhere. Do you ever notice how you could stay in bed all night, and you feel like you got to pee, but you go, "Meow, I'll do it later," and you don't pee your pants.
And then you wake up and piss
The minute you get up and stand straight,
yeah, you don't. And
it's like, holy crap, I gotta go, right? It's like, but if you're laying down, I wonder what that is in terms of physiologically. If your bladder is holding water and you're not. And
well,
you're
it
prone?
It doesn't think it's as full when you're laying down.
Okay, it thinks? Your bladder thinks? It's like a brain?
Yeah.
Actually, all organs think because they
You ever heard a girl go, he's thinking with his penis?
Wait, I think that girls and women don't, I guess they have that problem too. No, it's not a problem. It's actually good because otherwise everybody's bed would be wet, right?
Sure. And we would just live that way.
And there were people I know who were like, wetting their bed. Wait, I wonder why people did that then. If the body knows to hold it in, How does this is a topic for to be on the show, or another doctor, a doctor who knows something about organs.
Dr. Jeff.
Okay, Dr. Jeff know about organs? You're right. We can ask Dr. We can have Dr. Jeff on and talk about child health. Some people think that's important. My name is Frank Cotullo. I'm the man whose name adorns the title of the show. And every time these young whippersnappers come up the show to snap my whipper, I'm always saying, I always get a little bit, because, you know, I'm not your, I always get a little bit, I become two people, like Barry wishes he would. You know, he just wishes he looked good in a skirt, right? I like the idea. I become this fatherly person who has all this experience and knows all this crap and talks about this stuff, and I am a father. But I become this like old guy you go to see who has guns and sits there and go, you know, this old guy who just lives. Hey, yeah, you know what he used to do? He used to do jokes and write jokes. Yeah, what's he doing now? Oh, he's sitting there somewhere in that house in the middle of nowhere with a bunch of rifles. I become that guy, and I tell you things like, I'll tell you a story about the day me and Dudley Moore, you know, that junk. And the other guy is the kid who kids around with you, who is absolutely, knows that kind of, knows what you're talking about and plays these kind of games with you. So actually, what we're saying is I'm a schizophrenic.
That was the whole point.
Wasn't that the point, really?
Yeah, I was waiting.
Those are some great places where, and those of you out there who want to start a comedy club, and God knows how many people would be lit. I'm sorry, Jonathan. Thank you very much for not making that yawn sound like anything. He did very well. He made the yawn not sound, you know. Because if someone just sits there, he does that once in a while. Well, he can't help it with this body. this guy here, I wouldn't. If I didn't know you and I met you in an alley, I'd be so scared because the shadow alone would loom so boldly. You know, it's just the dark shadow. Of course, there'd have to be a light behind you. It wouldn't have any shadow. And if it was too dark, I wouldn't see anyway. But in any event, in all events, and certainly in this event, you've been listening to Cotullo Chronicles, and we're getting close to the end of this particular hour. I have no idea what's happening next week, but something will occur.
Barry Rothbard, fact.
Heather Drain is going to come on. We're going to do a special show about Bela Lugosi. That's going to be a fun show. We have a couple of other people who are in the queue.
Did we ever get Robin on?
In the queue, but we're waiting. Who?
Robin Matthews?
No, we still have, you know, Robin has just been so busy. You know, boy, you win an Academy Award, and the next the next couple of years of your life are just...
Frank, who?
And they're just, no, it's not that. They're just the next bunch of years are just filled with business and things and doing what a she turns down more work than most will get in a lifetime. That's what an Academy Award does for you. Makes money. That's why people want to win it. Would you like to win an Academy Award, Joe? Jonathan?
Yeah.
Mitzker? Jonathan
Jonathan Mitzker-chan?
Minnick? Mr. Minnick?
Tell him you mean business.
Tell him you mean business. That's good. You didn't. That was another one I was working on. I do this thing called isolated impersonations.
Oh, yeah.
I can't impersonate
people. Show him the one.
I can't impersonate people, but I have little lines in movies. And I've been working on, did you bring me The Aviator?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I've been working on, because I've been watching it again and again. I love it. I've been working on Leonardo DiCaprio in The Aviator, and this is I never liked him until I saw that movie either. I didn't care for him, and I didn't want to be sinking ships and all that crap. But he's so good in this. So I got this for you. So here's Leonardo DiCaprio, my latest one from the movie. I'm going to come up with a lot of them because I did my other one. I'm going to do this one now.
He needs to hear the other one after this.
What he needs to hear? Key to the future. Key to the future. It's the key to the future. Key to the future. Key to the future. Now, if you don't know the movie, you've never seen it. It means nothing to you, right?
Right.
All right.
So do the other one, Jack Nicholson.
Which one?
Jack Nicholson.
Wait till they get a load of me.
Yeah.
Yes. I did another Jack Nicholson part. Did the one I do Robert Duvall from The Godfather?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Salazzo might not even be in the car, Sonny. That's about as perfect as it. What did you do? What? Another one that he did?
Whoa.
Oh well, he does. You know, you've done him a million times.
Yeah.
You've done Christopher Walken.
I always like to talk to
you. Are you ever going
to
do Christopher Running? Or just Christopher Walken. There's a bad joke.
Remember Place?
Yes.
Yeah.
There's also Reese Witherspoon comes on, and then afterwards Reese Witherspoon comes on.
Whoa.
Oh, there we go.
I like that.
That's a treat.
And, that's good.
And one day.
That'll be in a minute's
Helen, Helen Hunt is there.
But, Helen Hunt.
But only after, only when she's hungry.
Oh, I don't understand that. Helen Hunt.
Helen
Hunt. Hell and Hunt.
No, Helen Hunt.
Yeah, I know Helen Hunt.
But only when Helen hungry.
Hunt.
Only when Helen's hungry. Helen's hungry?
Hunt. Helen Hunt.
Oh, is this like...
Only when Helen hungry.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
I was...
I don't know. No, I'm not crazy about that one. I think we have to work on that one.
Well, let's not.
Let's not work on that one. Let's forget about working on that one.
Yeah, too bad this is live. Remember when you told me... Remember when we came up with this, Frank? You and I were right...
Come in with the milk. Come in with the milk. Come in with the milk. Come in with the milk.
Okay. You and I were working on jokes.
Yes.
And we thought it'd be great
if
I went up there and did one good impression on stage, yeah. Like my Christopher Walken.
Right.
And then afterwards I said, I just do a whole bunch of impressions, so I'm just going to do some more for you. You thought that one was good, Chris Walken. Here's...
Well, you don't say that. You just go like, and then because you got to get a good reaction. Yeah. Otherwise you just go on.
They love the Chris Walken.
They love the Chris Walken. You go like, okay.
Yeah. Oh, if you like that one, here's Bobby De Niro. You looking at me? Are you looking
He's
at me?
He's laughing because he knows right away, right?
Okay, great. And now I got one more for you. This one is Robert Duvall. Hey, I'm Robert Duvall. I'm an actor.
You know, you could also do, you know what? How else you could do that routine?
Huh.
Can you give this away, not other people, right? Know how you do that routine? You do Christopher Walken and you do him as well as you do him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you go, and then you got to pick these character actors that nobody knows. That you might see, so you think of some, and think of a name. You don't know him by name, but you've seen his face or whatever. And you name those, and then you just do a guy. Oh, no one knows if you're doing him.
Yeah.
You see? You know what I'm saying there, Jeff?
Or you could just make up a name.
I couldn't even think of the name.
Next up is Theodore Winslow. here's my Theodore Winslow impression.
I've never seen an
ad in Hi, I'm Theodore Winslow. And then it'd be like, and then people would be like, I guess.
And then you do this. Then you go, yeah, Theodore Winslow doing Shakespeare. Ready? Then you go, Theodore Winslow. You like the Theodore Winslow. To be or not to be? That's the question.
And then here's Theodore Winslow having a conversation with Mike Stamopoulos.
Hey, Mike, how's it going?
Ah, Theodore, bad day today.
You could do...
People are like, I don't know, is it good or not?
You can do that at Hee Haw Harry's.
Class, how he gets off. That's the only one at Hee Haw Harry's.
Nobody clips this mic more than you. You just
you
have,
know
it,
how.
Yeah, it's because, yeah, you do. Because you always want to swallow the mic. What?
Just another
Mike
one.
Clipper?
No.
Mike Clipper, remember him? He worked with Helen Hunt, didn't he? Remember, did you ever call a store and ask for, I said, I'd like to speak to Mike Hunt.
Yeah.
You've done that?
A bunch of them.
Yeah, you've done those. I don't use that one. You can use that.
Justin Time,
yeah. But Mike Hunt is dirty.
Yeah. Hey, another comedy club I'm performing at.
Yeah, where's that?
First Impressions.
First Impressions. Oh, that's a good name, yeah. Okay. Well, we're going to do a bunch of that stuff sooner or later. Maybe I'll decide to go on the road again. Huh? What do you think? Think I should do that? No, okay, we won't do that. What we will do is hit the theme and get cracking because it's time for us to go. Boys, time flies when you're having fun, doesn't it? We got...
Save it for Hee Haws.
We don't have a lot of other things to do. Other than that, go buy the books, go to Facebook. Are you on Facebook? You're on Facebook, aren't you? Let's get Mr. Minnick here. Tell us how to get you.
Just John Minnick. JonMinnich.
Yeah, I know, but then you're gonna find like 20 John Minnicks.
I'm the dude playing guitar. I don't know.
I don't know. Okay, so don't go there. How about
don't go
look for them. Just look for his face. You see him? You see him? Just see him.
You see what I look like now, right? I look like that in my picture.
Exactly,
you know,
like that.
Friend requests me, and you know.
Well, right now, in California, Barry Rothbart is taking stage at the Ice Cube.
And he's probably saying things like, I was just home sleeping. Believe me, I didn't do anything.
I did nothing today.
My name is Frank Catolo, man of the name of George, the title of the show. I want to say that's it for that. Don't forget, go to 4culture.com, and you can read stuff there. 148.ca/Frank for more great stuff and other stuff. And Jeremy is at Twitter at MD.
At Jeremy Long.
At Jeremy Long, MD. Good night, Mrs. Ernst Weil. Bye. Wherever you may be located, what?
Buy the documentary.
Buy the documentary. Go, just look up.
Buy Barry's CD.
Yeah, buy Barry's CD.
Go just watch Hungry.
Go do all that in.
Go watch Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah. Darn, I don't want to see it. I haven't seen that. I'm not going to.
Why not?
Huh?
I haven't seen it either. That's a good one.
It's way in the future. It's way in the future. Way in the future.
That's the only movie you'll
show
see.
Show me the blueprints. I want to see the blueprints. Good night. Why are we leaving?
You
because
already,
we have
nothing more to say.